Hey, welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. This week, we will be talking about downtown and the Skid Row community with Patty Berman, the president of D-Link, which is the Downtown Los Angeles Neighborhood Council, and the cast member of the play Surviving the Nickel, which will be performed this Sunday, September the 23rd, 2012, at 3 o'clock at the Vortex, which is located at 2341 Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. But first, I attended a stand-down for homeless military veterans in Compton, California last Saturday, September the 22nd, 2012, and I had a chance to interview one of the participants, Jeff Norman of the Veterans Project. The interview would be a little over 4 minutes. Okay, I'm here with the downtown, I'm here with the Compton stand down on Saturday, September the 22nd. And I'm here with Jeff Norman of the Veterans Project. Jeff, can you tell us a little about what you're doing here at the stand down?
Well, setting up a table and talking to people. The idea is really to provide services to veterans, and there's a whole bunch of different service providers here, each at a table. And we wanted to let veterans know what we're up to, which is helping them adjust to civilian life with a focus on jobs and housing. And within those two areas, we focus on the arts. We help people get jobs in the arts. We provide them with sort of alternative services using the arts as therapy. And so we're here mostly. That was the main idea to be here, but, you know, I've actually spent most of the day networking with other providers. It's great that they're doing this, and it's very well organized, but there's one problem here, which I think is a pretty severe problem, and that's that the music they're blasting is way too loud, and it's right near where all the tables are. And there are mental health counselors here, and it's really not the right kind of environment to be talking to veterans about such sensitive subject matter.
So it makes it difficult to communicate with the traffic, the veterans that come through. They want to get some information about the different service providers.
Exactly, yeah. So I've sort of retreated because it's so difficult to hear, and have been talking to other providers, and basically recruited a bunch of them for a stand-down that we are organizing on Saturday, November 17th in Venice.
And where is the exact location of that?
The Oakwood Recreation Center is the name of it, and you can get the address and more information by visiting our website, which is theveteransproject.org.
And one of the things that you're going to do at that stand-down is deal with the music loud situation to make it possible for the veterans to connect with service providers and be able to communicate and hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has to be a priority. I mean, I love music, and most people do, but there's a time and place for everything. And I think it's great to have music at stand-downs, but it has to be a little bit separated from the area where the veterans are speaking with the providers.
Yeah. One last thing. Can you tell us a little about the Veterans Project, the mission, et cetera, like that?
Well, we started off as a public awareness campaign and really weren't very hands-on with the veterans. But since then, we've evolved, and we started a mentoring program for veterans who are pursuing a career in the media or the arts or the entertainment field. And now we're helping them get jobs and housing. And we're sort of connecting the dots by providing housing where veterans who want to pursue these things can get these services right at the location. For example, we have a house in Long Beach where we're providing this is basically permanent housing for veterans, and the garage there has been converted into a recording studio. So it's a great place for somebody who's a musician or a recording engineer or something along those lines to live and have an opportunity to develop a skill. So that's the sort of thing we're doing now, is finding ways to connect those particular dots and to come up with housing where the VASH voucher is accepted, which is sort of the equivalent of Section 8, but for military veterans, but to come up with properties that not only accept the VASH voucher, but are nicer than the average one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, thank you very much, Jeff Norman with the Veterans Project. Thank you, Jeff, and enjoy the rest of the stand down.
Thanks, Melvin. Pleasure chatting with you.
Yes. Okay, that was an interview with Jeff Norman of the Veterans Project at the Compton Stand Down last Saturday. Now, I am delighted to have with us in the studio Patty Berman. She is the president of D-Link, the Downtown Neighborhood Los Angeles Council, and also on the board of the Arts Walk. Patty, welcome to the Coonrod Report.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us a little about yourself first starting off?
A little about myself. Well, I've been living downtown for almost 12 years now, and I've been involved in a lot of different projects down here. I started out with bringing in grant money. They needed someone to manage grant money coming into the neighborhoods to start building new businesses and getting things started back then, and then got involved with the Neighborhood Council, with the Pershing Square Park Advisory Board, with Art Walk, which D-Link did start originally, and so many other things. Mm-hmm. And I guess now I love downtown and I just do what I can for it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Patty, what exactly is D-Link?
D-Link is a neighborhood council. Neighborhood councils are chartered by the City of Los Angeles. There are 91 neighborhood councils. It started when the Valley tried to secede from Los Angeles back, and they realized that people didn't feel they were being properly represented, that they had a voice at City Hall. So our primary mandate is to provide a liaison between our constituency, the people who work, live, and have businesses in our area, and City Hall itself. So it's my responsibility to have relationships with the people at City Hall, to know who to send people to just get the lay of the land for them. Mm-hmm. Now, we do a lot of other things, too, but that's primarily what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay, and D-Link been in existence how long?
10 years.
10 years. Okay. Now, how did you become the president?
I got elected. I was vice president for some years previous to that, and when the man who was president before, Russell Brown, you know him, mm-hmm. when he decided to retire from D-Link, I decided to take up the projects and work with it. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and I was lucky enough to be voted in by the members of the board.
Oh, wonderful. Now, what is your vision for the downtown area?
Well, I think we have to look at it from two standpoints. Obviously, the growth is good, economic development is good, money coming in is good, but we need to look also at the balance of what types of things are coming in. I know of a few people who have moved out of downtown because they couldn't take the crowds in front of their buildings on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night coming out of all these clubs and bars. Not people who live downtown, but people who were just there for the evening getting drunk and being drunk in their neighborhood. I'm not saying it's a major problem, but it's an example of we've got to get a balance. To that, D-Link has been awarded a $122,000 grant to study livability, mobility, and sustainability in downtown and come up with a vision for the whole area. Mm-hmm. So hopefully in another year or so, I'll be able to answer that question better.
Okay. How is the study to be, is it to be carried out by university students?
Actually by a company called AECOM, they do this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they will be very inclusive of all organizations and different groups that are downtown to get everybody's input before the vision will be put together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is your vision for Skid Row?
Well, pretty much the same thing. I'd like to see economic development going on there. There's a lot of people down there with businesses. There's a lot of people living there. Everything needs to be elevated. Just, mm-hmm. it is a community. It's a place where people live. It's a place where people work. It needs to be treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see a little less attitude about the differences and a lot more attitude about the things that are the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is the status of the Arts Committee? That's one of the...
The Arts Committee in the Downtown Neighborhood Council? Mm-hmm. The status of the Arts Committee right now is that there is no one leading it, and I'm hopeful that after these elections coming up in November that I'll have somebody on the board who really wants to put the time and effort in to bringing back the Arts Committee.
Mm-hmm. To develop that. Yeah. Okay. Now, can you tell us about, I know the upcoming election of D-Lane. Can you talk about that for a while?
Yep. As a matter of fact, we are now in the period of time when people can register to become candidates. That will be until the 15th of October, and the election is November 15th. So we'll have a month then for people to campaign to get elected. Right now, I'm very concerned that we have people sign up to be candidates, people who want to put the time and effort in to making downtown the best neighborhood it can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And we need a lot of good people. It's not easy. You don't get paid, and it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of love. But there are a lot of good people out there who don't know how much they could contribute, and I'm really hoping we'll get to them. You'll see some ads coming out in the downtown news starting in about a week or so, and we're really hoping to bring people in and get a good group.
Okay. Now, what is the qualification for running for a seat on D-Lane?
Well, we have one of the most complicated set of seats that of any neighborhood council, and you have to be a resident of downtown or have a business downtown or work downtown or own property downtown or in some other way be a part of it. But we have 28 seats, and each one of them is for something different. So you really need a little help, and it's one of the things that I'm trying to do right now. If somebody is interested in running, I want them to find the slots that are appropriate for who they are and what their relationship is to downtown.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what is the procedure for candidate filing for those that would like?
Filing is usually online. Mm-hmm. And you do have to show proof that you qualify for the seat you're asking for. There's different proof for different things. Easy one is residency. You know, anything that shows that you live there. But some of the others can be a little bit more difficult. But sometimes a business card will do for a business, things like that. All of that information is on the web. It's all under empowerla.org/elections. Mm-hmm. And that's elections plural. Mm-hmm. If you do election singular, you go someplace really weird. So people can do that. Also, if it's all right with you, if I could give my email address.
Yeah.
It's patti.berman@dlanc.com. If you have questions, if you're interested in becoming a candidate and you're not sure where you would qualify, I'll be really happy to help you, especially if you find that being on the internet is a little daunting. I'll be happy to work it through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, let's take a short break for our community calendar, and then we'll come back with our guest, Patty Berman, and also we'll be joined by the cast of Surviving Nickel and continue our discussion.
This is our community calendar for the month of September. Every Tuesday from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Veterans Community Theater Workshop is being held. The location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. If you need more information on this event, you can call 323-850-4436. This Friday, September the 28th, from 6 to 8 p.m., Skid Row Community Forum by Operation Facelift Skid Row will be having a meeting, and the topic will be the update on the Feed and Clean Community Resolutions. You're invited to come out, share food, the mixer, and participate in the forum discussion. The location is The Exchange, 114 West 5th Street, Los Angeles. Information on this, you can go to www.facebook.com/Operation Facelift Skid Row. Saturday, September the 29th at 7 p.m., the Ciphered Language Present, 100,000 Poets for Change. This will be a great lineup of many of the well-known poets from around the city. You're invited to come out and enjoy this event. This will be hosted by Black Spinach and others. The location, The Last Bookstore, 435 South Spring Street. For more information on this event, 213-488-0599. Sunday, September the 30th at 3 p.m., the Veterans Community Theater Workshop. We have been rehearsing for the past week, and you've been hearing about the workshop. Now is the time to come out and see the results. We are presenting the stage play Surviving the Nickel, written and directed by Melvin Ishmael Johnson. The location is the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. This is near the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. This is a free event. We invite all of you to come. And that's Sunday, September 30th, 3 p.m. And if you need more information, call 323-850-4436. And the upcoming guests on the Cobron Report, Monday, October the 1st, will be Ron Crockett and OG Manuel Capito. And they're with the Skid Row Operation Facelift. This is just a reminder, if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com, attention Earlene Anthony. And once again, our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Miss Earlene Anthony. Now, we're back with our guest, Patty Berman, president of D-Link and also a board member of ArtsWalk. And I also kind of want to open it up to a roundtable discussion, too. And this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about ArtsWalk. And, Patty, can you tell us what is ArtsWalk and how did it get started?
Well, the ArtsWalk is sort of an event that takes place without anyone starting it. We get about 25 to 30,000 people come on the second Thursday of the month to look at the art galleries, to go to our restaurants, our bars, and just enjoy downtown. It's been a tremendous economic development tool for downtown. And how did it get started? It was started by the Downtown Los Angeles Neighborhood Council. I think it's 8 years ago now. And it was because we had put two different art galleries across the street from each other, and they decided to have events on the same night. And we had a whopping 75 people come to that first one. Most of them relatives of the people who own the art gallery, but it's grown now and it's become quite the event. So there's a lot of small businesses downtown that make their rent that night, so we're very grateful to have it happening.
Okay, let's open it up. I want to get some more thoughts on ArtsWalk and what do you think can be done to improve ArtsWalk? Anybody want to pick up on that? Michelle?
Well, you know, I moved downtown 9 years ago, so I've been a stakeholder downtown for about 9 years, and I remember with, let's see, that it was a Burt Green, and across the street,
Pharmaca.
Yeah. I remember Shane. When they started that. And at first, it was just like five people, you know, because I remember. And then, you know, no one really, it wasn't of any consequence. And then, you know, trickle turned into a flow and then a flood. And now it's something that is really, really out of control with unfortunate, you know, loss of an infant's life and very strange behavior. But, you know, I'm grateful for the boon for the business and the arts explosion of availability of artistic expression of virtually every medium. I mean, you can find everything in ArtsWalk. It's kind of scary right now. But I love it. I mean, because artists need to have an environment where they can see and explore and express and create and share. And that's what I think it's the best of and sometimes the worst. I mean, unfortunately, 2 months ago, you know, there was that incident with the police and but that's all, you know, I think a part of community and economic growth and community togetherness, unity, and expression because, you know, the 99 have a right to express themselves. Unfortunately, we bore the brunt because we couldn't then celebrate with our musical expression the following month. But, you know, don't worry, I went to city council on that. So, but, I think it's a wonderful thing. I do, and it's just, I think that, again, the onus is upon the members of the community to keep it under control, because most of the people in attendance are not downtown stakeholders and residents. They're okay. from all over. Like, it's in competition with Hollywood and Westwood for popularity and Santa Monica. So.
Okay. Anybody else want to say something? Earlene, you want to say something about Arts Walk?
Oh, I just like it. I like the atmosphere of the being out in the open, people milling around, going to and fro with their different artistic expressions. And just give them a chance to be out like some of the other big cities. They have their events, and L.A. should have some big event also, even though we're next to Hollywood, but we're, you know, a little bit separated from Hollywood. So I love the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Myself personally, I enjoy the diversity of people that enjoy the Art Walk. The ethnicities are all represented, and that's a good thing, because we don't ordinarily get an opportunity to see where we all can work together as one. And I feel that the Art Walk has really brought that to the forefront of the community, that yes, we are all one people. So let's just, Rodney King, can we all get along? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
What do you think some of the things that we can do to make Arts Walk better?
You know, that's a discussion for another 5 hours, but the problem is no one really has control to do the things that might be done. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is an Art Walk board, but primarily it's to promote the Art Walk, get in enough money to pay for the fees and the police and the fire department and the street services and the people who are helping with the traffic. There's a lot of money involved there, and a lot of fundraising has to be done, getting sponsors. But there is no one who is in charge of, you can't be here, you need to walk on that side of the street, please get out of the middle of the street. You know, there is no one to do that. So mm-hmm. I think we could sit here and certainly I have a list of things I'd like to see changed. I'm sure every single one of you do. But the problem is, who's going to do it, and how can it possibly get done?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more comments, Lee?
I just wanted to ask the question, because it seems that if you want something to grow, get all the people involved in it. And those people on the other side of Main Street down there, I believe, need to be involved in everything downtown. They stay down here in this area.
In the Skid Row area.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They need to be involved in the things down here, as well as the people on the other side of Main Street. Mm-hmm. You know, and President Barack Obama campaigned in 2008 about change. We just heard presidential candidate Mitt Romney talk about the 47%. When you talk about change, you talk about a community. When you talk about 47%, you start talking about neighborhoods that don't fit together, you know. And if things are to get better anywhere on this planet, it's got to become a community. And my question to Ms. Patty, it's way out question, but to me it makes sense, mm-hmm. you know, because I know some things about it. The definition between the word neighborhood and the word community, because I remember a few minutes ago you used both of the words back together, you know. And I wanted to know, what is your definition of neighborhood and your definition of community?
Well, community is the people. The neighborhood is the area.
Okay.
And the reason that they're called neighborhood councils is because that's what it says in the city charter, so everybody calls it that. Mm-hmm. But I think that I deal more with community than I do with neighborhood.
The reason I came in right there is because it still goes back to the people. I can have a 1,000 acres of land and put houses on it. It's not a community. It's not even a neighborhood. It's just a bunch of houses and land. Uh-huh. You know, the people make up everything. It starts first. You start first with the people, and then you go. You know. It's always
mm-hmm. people having a vested interest in what's happening.
If I can get, a place for Christmas or like that, they hire the people to come out and sweep the sidewalks.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty sure there's other jobs as well that could be done down in this community. Because now, again, if you get a guy a paycheck and he stays down here, most likely he's going to spend his money down here. Right? Mm-hmm. But now the guy that don't live down here to get the paycheck, he gonna spend the money where he lives at. So you got to get the people involved in everything that you do down here. It can't be no east side and west side of Main Street. It's just got to be one street. Uh-huh. Just straight Main Street, no east and west. You know, and then you go from there.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Let's go to another question. What do you think about the... And I'm going to start off with you, and then we can expand it out. What do you think about the police having an elected seat on D-Link as a stakeholder?
Well, first of all, if a member of the police department qualified for one of our 28 current seats, mm-hmm. I think it would be an excellent idea. I think it would be a great idea if we could do a little revamping with the seat structure of D-Link, but that seems to be something that nobody wants to tackle. At this point, changing the definitions of the seats and what they and how they qualify would be a very big task. If we ever get to that process, I think an excellent idea would be to have one of them be for a member of the police, particularly one who works our area and perhaps even lives down in the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell us a little about the Brown Act? What is that? Can you explain that to the community?
The Brown Act is a state law that says that any government body that is paid for by government money, and D-Link is a city quasi-agency, which means that we are a city, official city, a government agency, we have to go with certain rules and regulations to make sure that our meetings are open to people and accessible to everyone. We can't do anything in secret. Everything we do has to be out there. So, for instance, if we're going to have a meeting, we have to post the agenda of what we're going to do 72 hours ahead of time. If we're going to have a meeting, it has to be in a place that anyone can come into. It can't be in a private place. Those are just a couple of examples. But basically, the Brown Act was set up to make sure that all of the things that we do, that City Hall does, that the state government does, are open to all and are transparent to all.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you about the decertification process, because I know there's probably one or two neighborhood councils who have been decertified. What entails that?
You know, I'm really grateful to not know. I know that if they don't follow certain rules, and we have plenty of rules, yeah, that the city will come down on them. And if they continue to not do it, I suppose that's when they become decertified.
Okay. Now, Ms. Earlene Anthony, you are also a member of the MacArthur Park Neighborhood Council. Let me ask you, what do you see the major difference between the D-Link Downtown Neighborhood Council and the MacArthur Park Neighborhood Council?
Of course, the large board that D-Link has, I think is wonderful. MacArthur Park has about 19 seats, and they're not all filled. But I think with D-Link, I've gone to a lot of meetings at D-Link, and of course they're well organized, and I think there's a lot of respect for the board members, because sometimes with the MacArthur Park Neighborhood Council, a lot of feelings come into play and begin to point fingers. And I think that's a big difference between the two that I can see.
Oh, okay. Now, I also want to ask about, since, you know, Los Angeles is known as the homeless capital, you know, here in the United States of America, symbolizing Skid Row. What are your thoughts on the D-Link, Skid Row, and the homeless problem, and et cetera, like that?
How long do we have? that's a lot of issues there.
Yeah.
I've been down here for 12 years. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it is that we're all together in this. It's like what you were saying about there is no border on Main Street. That's something that somebody made up. We're all here together. What would I like? I would like to not need one social service provider downtown. I would like to make sure that everybody, if we could eliminate homelessness and eliminate the problems and put all those people out of business, that'd make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen progress in bringing Skid Row into the overall downtown community?
Absolutely.
And what's happening?
Yeah. Someone on another radio show kind of tried to trick me into saying that we had two factions and we were kind of like staring at each other across Main Street, and I wouldn't do it because I don't think that that's what's going on. I think we work together. I mean, how many of you do I know before? We do what's necessary for what's going on right then, and we do it together. And otherwise, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else want to pick up on that? Comments?
Yeah. That's just back to Arts Walk. When you was talking about Arts Walk, I started thinking about the 1960s, because in the 1960s, on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, the streets was full of military people, all kinds of people outside of that, just, you know, but a lot of different military people used to come down here. And I sometimes, as I'm walking along, I remember some of the places I used to see them at, you know, a couple of little clubs going down the hill across Main Street on that side, on this side of the shows and everything. And they was, you know, just to get away, get leave and come down just to enjoy themselves, you know. So when I see the people at Arts Walk, it reminds me of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish they would come back. Make more people, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Vietnam period. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michelle.
Really quickly, you know, as a nine-year stakeholder downtown, even I was born in Inglewood 40-some years ago. what I'd like to see is integration of the new loft people and what I call the indigenous downtown residents, namely the throwaway, those that the system has generated, because I believe that the homeless downtown presently are as a result of an exercise, an experiment in mass manipulation, population control, breeding, eugenics, however you like to, whatever terminology or nomenclature you'd like to use. And those who are subjugated and still downtown in the street as homeless have not been incorporated or even acknowledged as, you know, viable. Now they're just completely throwaway. You know, that the government, the system, the city doesn't have to acknowledge. With all due respect, Patty, I have tremendous respect for you. But even D-Link, I see, doesn't even really, I think they give, you know, OG Man and Ron, because these are organizations that make sure they get some funding because they have positive projects to bring positive attention, to bring positive energy to help Skid Row. And they are present. But outside of those brethren and General Jeff, I really don't see D-Link or the city doing anything to help those people, because I think the city has generated that population, not only for the service providers who make money off of those people.
Yeah. Well, what do you think can be done to improve the relationship between, say, what's happening with the Skid Row community and the overall downtown community?
I don't know, to tell you the truth, Melvin, I think more organizations like your own, grassroots organizations, given those people who don't know they've been victimized by mind control, microchips, experimental medication, breeding societies like colonization societies that this system uses to maintain the status quo. Most of those people just think, oh, well, I lost my job, I had an accident, and by chance I was medicated. And usually it's by design. Okay. So raising where I publish, and then grassroots organizations to help those women who have been abandoned, help those veterans who have given up and living in the street, help them have a voice, help them to want to live, help them to want to stop medicating themselves.
Okay. Andrea, what are your thoughts?
Personally, I think it's a call to the religious sector. My take on it is we've got all these churches, it doesn't matter what denomination you want to call it, but if each one took it upon themselves to refurbish an old home with four bedrooms, and in those four bedrooms you have two people in each bedroom, okay, that's eight people you have off the street. Now multiply that times the amount of churches that we have, and multiply that times the amount of people, and it all mathematically works out that you will have less than the 80 to 100,000 people every night that sleep on the streets, then you can do a deduction from that amount. Now, that's a small amount, but it's going in the right direction. And it's incumbent upon that community of churches and theologies and all of that to pick up that mantle, because after all, that's what is the teaching from the Creator to help your fellow man.
Arlene?
When I was homeless, and I was homeless for more than 1 or 2 years, when I was living in Skid Row, I lived at the Union Rescue Mission. And the cycle was to funnel you out of the mission to get you on welfare, because counselors would ask you if you have any income. If you don't have any income, they want you to go to welfare. Okay? You go to welfare and you stay on for X amount of months. When your time limit is up at the welfare, then your counselor come and say, well, you must have some kind of medical condition, therefore you should go and apply for disability. Now, I'm telling you, when I was down there, this was the cycle. From the shelter to welfare to disability. Get your medication, get your disability, and this was the cycle to keep you down there. And when people are medicated, you can see that many of them are walking around out of their mind, zombie state, and so on. I'm telling you, the service providers in the area, this is how they funnel people through and for the system.
Well, we need to break that cycle.
That's right.
All right, then, we're going to come back in our closing comments and talk a little bit more. But at this time, I would like to move into our voices from the community section of the show, especially voices from or about Skid Row. And I'm delighted to have with us in the studio the cast from one of my plays, Surviving the Nickel, a play about the homeless in the Skid Row area. The preview performance for the play will be this Sunday, September the 30, 2012, at 3 o'clock at the Vortex, which is located at 2341 East Olympic Boulevard, bus number 60 and or 66, drop you off right there on the corner of Olympic and Santa Fe. Now, let me introduce the cast. First, we have here Michelle Autry, Andrea Ross, Anthony Taylor, Sales Reed, Lee Shaw, and Earlene Anthony. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
Hello. Yes. Glad to be here.
Okay, let's start off with Andrea, and then we'll go around, come on back to Earlene. Tell us your name and then the part you play in the play, a little bit about that.
Okay, my name is Andrea Ross, and I've been with the Drama Stage Theater Group for the past 2.5 years. In this particular production, my character is Gloria Jackson, and she is formerly a homeless individual living on Skid Row who has edified and rebuilt her life and is now counseling others to do the same thing.
Okay, wonderful.
Hello, my name is Anthony Taylor, and I play the part of Malik Morrison, an Iraqi military veteran just released from prison, and facing the challenges of living, coming out and living on Skid Row. The challenges that I would have to face dealing with social issues, identity issues, just being released and on prison, and the challenges I have to go through a daily life of living in this community.
All right.
Hi, I'm Sells Reed, and I play the part of a military veteran suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder who works as a security guard in the downtown area and lives in the downtown area as well.
Good evening. I am Yvonne Michelle Autry, and I'm so grateful and so honored to be a member of the Drama Stage Qumran for about 5 or 6 years. I'm so grateful to Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to express and to organize and reflect the truth of what's happening, not only on the Nickel, but on Skid Row and everywhere in our community. And I'm so grateful that these wonderful people have taken up that responsibility to give us a voice in a system that really is trying to silence or exterminate or extinguish. Quickly, I play Mary Ellen, and she's a woman dealing with domestic abuse, homelessness, trying to regroup and re-enter society, and also giving thanks for a friend and also community support in that process of emerging out of that homeless situation.
Hey,
I almost want to say my my name is Lee Shaw, and I play a character called T. Roney. He's actually a businessman, but he's also a dope dealer. And he finds himself second-guessing himself in his occupation. And he gets better as he goes along. You know, it's one of the weird things that all the characters are homeless or something wrong with them. One thing wrong with T. Roney is more money, more money, more money.
That's his motto.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do a scene from the play. The first scene is a scene between Mary Ellen and Gloria coming in contact with each other prior to Mary Ellen entering the homeless atmosphere. Speak it up.
I'm so glad you called me. I think about you all the time. You are still my best friend, and I owe you a lot.
Girl, don't you go getting crazy on me. You know how far back we go?
Yes, yes, all the way back to preschool. But you know, it seems like it was just yesterday.
Yeah, time really, really flies.
Now look, here's $200. I wish I had more.
No, this'll do. You know, I just need to get me a place down here for a couple of weeks. By that time, I should be working.
And you gotta be careful around here in the downtown area. Before you know it, you will be broke and out on the streets, and you don't want to end up on Skid Row. You know what it was like for me when I ended up down here on Skid Row.
Nah, you know, I'll get a job. I got some good, good possibilities.
And you know what? You can always call your family. They're right down there in Long Beach.
Yeah, and you know what the situation is with that.
That's your family, and they still love you.
So what's that supposed to mean?
It means they'll help you.
Yeah. Yeah, how? By telling me they told me so.
They love you, Mary Ellen.
Yeah, I know. I know, like, they sure was right about Malik. Like, I really, really know how to pick them. Somebody that just want to use me for a punching bag.
You know, I really thought he was one of the good guys. And what made him want to hit on you anyway? But you know what? It doesn't even matter why. The bottom line is you don't want to stay with anyone who's going to beat on you.
Look, girl, I got a job interview in about a half an hour. I'll call you later. And, girl, thanks for the loan.
Now, you know, if I had more space, you could move in with me.
Now, don't you be ridiculous. You know you got 5 mouths to feed. I'll be all right.
Okay.
Okay, it's Michelle Andrea Ross performing a scene. The next scene I want to move into is I want to do a scene with Malik and T. Roney. Malik is just getting out of prison, and he's just entered the downtown Skid Row area, and he come in contact with one of his old-time friends who is greeting him.
What's happening, homie? They told me you was getting out today.
What's happening, T. Roney? What you doing down here?
Come to see you. And you know what's happening. That's right, my brother. Anytime you can come out from the land of the living dead, then you're certainly what's happening. Let me look at you. Eating right, working out, staying spiritually strong. That's how you do time. How long you been off the scene?
19 months.
Ooh, that's a long time.
Hey, how come you didn't come see me?
Oh, no, my brother. I've seen enough prisons for 10 lifetimes. Besides, I wrote you a few letters, gave you a chance to check out my penmanship. I heard about that situation with George and your lady Mary Ellen, that you went upside her head.
I didn't hit her. I pushed and she hit her head. And she is not my lady.
Good. These days, a woman could either make you or break you.
That's for sure.
Remember that time we slipped into your father's room and stole all his bean pies?
I thought he was going to kill us behind that. He had us selling bean pies and newspapers for months.
Yeah, your father was a good man. All he ever wanted was his own restaurant out there in the community.
Yeah, he always wanted his own business.
You know, I remember when the brothers used to be all over Skid Row selling newspapers and bean pies. And your Orthodox regular Muslims, you might find them down here once a year during Ramadan.
Most people just try to pretend like Skid Row don't even exist.
Take this cash. You have to get on your feet. Go ahead, take it. Get your room for a while. Can't do that much with that gate money they gave you. And if you need somebody to handle that situation with George, you just let me know.
Man, this ain't the Wild Wild West. You just can't go out there and smoke somebody.
You'll be surprised. Besides, he was supposed to be your friend. And there's certain lines you don't cross.
That situation is over.
Oh, between you and George, or between you and Mary Ellen?
Both.
Good. When you get yourself settled in, I want you to come out to the place and see me. I got something I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
I got something else for you, too. You know how you like that good smoke?
You know, I got to go see my parole officer. You know, they're going to make me piss in a bottle.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Thanks for the loan.
Don't mention it. You go see your parole officer, then come see me.
Okay, the next scene, Malik is on his way to see his parole officer, and we pick up with the parole officer just receiving a phone call. Malik is sitting in the chair in front of the parole officer.
Yeah. Who is this? Keith Winslow? So what you're telling me is that you can't make our 2:30 meeting today? Is that what you're telling me? Let me tell you something. If you're even 1 minute late, I'll have a warrant out on you so fast. Shut up! What did I tell you the last time we talked? That's right. You screw up and I'm sending you back. Okay, I'll see you at 2:30. What are you gonna do different this time?
Excuse me?
You heard what I said?
I plan to stay out this time. Get off parole. Turn my life around and become a productive member of the community.
This ain't no AA meeting. You gotta be getting tired of playing this same old role. Some people like being locked up. They can't make it on the outside. They like prison life. It's safe for them. Place to sleep, food to eat.
That's not me.
I hear that all the time. Every time I give somebody a break, they go out there and do something stupid. Like that guy who shot up that fast food restaurant last week. That was one of my parolees. It was all over me about that one. You got a place to stay?
I'm planning on getting a room downtown.
The moment you get your room, call me. You understand?
I understand.
I'll try to be fair with you if you're fair with me. Understand?
I understand.
You got to be careful downtown.
I know.
I want you looking for a job, no drugs. If you come back dirty, I'm sending you back. You understand?
I understand.
I know that you're a military veteran and that you've served your country. But to me, you're just another parolee. You understand?
I understand.
Don't get caught up down there on Skid Row.
I won't.
With all this realignment mess going on, it's easy to get caught up down there on Skid Row. Some people get out of prison. That's as far as they get. Skid Row. It's either drugs or they end up catching another case.
I'm planning on getting a job and just work and try to get myself together.
Good. That's all. One more thing. You mess up, you go back. You understand?
I understand.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, we got one more little short scene. Sales Reed is going to do a little short monologue from what we call the Anti-Violence Situation Coping Group ran by Dr. Solomon. So, Sales Reed.
I got something I want to say. Dr. Solomon, I am a military veteran, and I live down here in the Skid Row area. I woke up this morning thinking that these rescue missions and community organizations had my best interest in mind. I found out that the mayor, the police chief, and those I thought had my best interest in mind, they've gotten together and they've come up with a plan so I can sleep on the streets. They have truly flipped the script on us. What about fighting for my rights to have a roof over my head, to live in a house, not in a box on the street? They have flipped the script on us. They've got cats and dogs living in houses and human beings living on the streets in boxes. I serve my country, and they got me one step from the streets. I got a bed to sleep in, but I'm still homeless. They make me want to go out there and do something wrong, make me want to hurt somebody.
Violence is not the answer.
That's right.
Tales Reed from the play Surviving the Nickel. We hope you come out this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Vortex and enjoy the play. I want to go back to our special guest, Patty Berman, and I want to talk, just re-amplify all of the information again about the election. Can you update us on that again, all of the basic information that we need?
Yes, absolutely. And anyone who's listening who is interested in finding out more about the Neighborhood Council or perhaps being a candidate for one of the seats, please make sure that my email address is available to them through the website. But that's patti.berman@dlanc.com. And what's happening right now until the 15th of October is people are signing up to be candidates for the 28 different seats on the board. When you become a member of the board, you have an obligation to be at the monthly meetings. You have an obligation to work with one of our committees. It is time. It is commitment. It's no pay, but it is so worth it. So please, if you're interested, let us know. The elections are November 15th, and on the other side of that, if you live downtown, if you work downtown, if you own property downtown, if you have anything to do with downtown, November 15th is election day. We want you to vote. You'll vote in whichever seat candidate is proper, but please, this is an important election, just as important as any of the others. Please come out and vote.
Mm-hmm. Now, Patty, what happened if nobody signed up for a particular seat? Do that seat remains open, and is it appointed by the D-Link or something? How do that work?
What we normally would do is to have a town hall meeting. First of all, we would go out to that area because it would be some small area that had not been able to produce a candidate. We'd go out to that area, find people who might be interested, and we'd hold a town hall meeting, let them introduce themselves, and let the people who come to the meeting basically vote in that format.
That's part of D-Link.
That's part of our bylaws. If we can't fill a seat another way, if a year into the two-year somebody moves away, then they would have an alternate that would take their place. If there is no alternate in place, we go through that same procedure again.
Now, there's no term limits on...
No, there are no term limits.
Okay. What are the procedures if there's a major problem with one of the neighborhood council members and the council member want to get rid of that person? That person is, what would that person have to do to
don't show up, they can be removed. But we don't have, and we're thinking about changing this, but we don't have anything in place in the bylaws that would allow us to get rid of someone who is perhaps a problem or gets violent, or we have really no recourse for that now, and it's something we need to fix.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go around for some more closing comments. Let's start over here with, let's start with Michelle.
I was just doing the math, and actually, I think I've been involved and very active with the Qumran for about 7 years. I thought it was 4 or 5. I think it's been closer to 7 since we started to get together over at the Lost Souls Cafe in Harlem Lane, which is fabulous.
Yes.
But my views probably are not very popular because it's something that the government would like to silence and cover up along with my voice. But I'm still here, and I give thanks and praise to the Most High has a plan beyond our cognition. And I will just continue to do everything that I can in drawing attention to the fact that the homeless population is not by chance. It is social engineering. It is civil engineering. I consider that the prisons are the new plantations and penthouses for black people, people that are considered undesirable, which the system many times renders unproductive. For those that are not in prison, then there are ways they can be shifted to Skid Row, where they are easily exterminated, and I did say exterminated, by police officers and other covert undercover death squads, and it's just like that, in my opinion. So what I just do what I can, I'm going to tell the truth, and then, see, when I take the cover off, because I'm still here and I'm still alive and that's what I have to do, then you can focus on the real solutions,
Because the system is generating the homeless. And now, spiritually, like Andrea said, it's not just the physical churches. Anybody that has a heart and a soul, don't just give food and socks. You know, go out, talk to some of these people, pray with some of these people, help them to really, you know, get their spirit back because they've been broken.
All right. Let's go to sales. Closing comments.
Having experienced homelessness, I have to agree with Michelle. It was by design. It started with a leg injury, and from there it manifested to a loss of friends, a loss of family, a loss of employment, a loss of mobility, and the only place to find any type of assistance, to get a meal, to get to a shower, and the things that I needed in the beginning was Skid Row. It wasn't, in my particular case, it really wasn't by accident. It really was by design, and I do have to agree with her about that in the homelessness situation.
Okay. Anthony?
Yes, well, I don't have a definite reason or answer for these issues, which is plentiful in them, but I agree on some things that everyone has to come collectively together to solve some issues that just one idea just won't do it. You know, me myself, I'm a resident of Skid Row right this moment, and you know what? From what I see in myself, right, is so many resources that that I've partaked in that's been a blessing for myself. So I'm grateful for where I'm at right this moment. And I know there's a whole lot of issues I'm not aware of or understand about. But where I'm at right now, where I think that everybody will have to come together and have some similarities instead of the differences. And then we can focus on how to make things better.
Okay. Andrea, we got about 30 seconds, please.
I'm going to be really precise. Yeah. I wrote a poem, and it's called A Smile is a Sandwich. To a homeless person, a smile can be a sandwich. So if you don't do anything else, don't turn your nose up. Just smile, because a smile can be a sandwich to a hungry person. Thank you.
Thank you. Earlene.
Now, I'm going to really I'm telling you right now, don't send me no emails.
But, about 30 seconds.
Okay. A lot of choices that some of us homeless, I say us because I include me, have made in our, you know, latter years, early years, whatever, probably could have made things a little bit different because everything is a choice for me and should be for everybody else. That's my take on being homeless.
Okay. Lee, give me about 15 or 20 seconds.
Any guy told me one time, he said, if you come to Skid Row and you starve, you just want to die. And that's true. I've seen it too many places around here. You know, let's say, don't never say that people don't do something for you, because they do. They do things down here for people. You know what I'm saying? So that's why people wind up down here. They know it's, hey, I'd rather be down Skid Row than to be out there in South Central somewhere more, because it's cold and you can get real hungry out there.
All right. Okay, I would like to extend a special thanks to Patty Berman and the cast of Surviving the Nickel. Please check out our shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, SkidRow.LA, and DramaStage.Qumran. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, great show. Thank you very much.